Thank you, Father Joe. Father Joe said he learned to be me, and I knew he would be out there among you preaching. Well, I'm going to be me, and I'm going to stand here in the pulpit. Even though the first service, I usually sit with a group with no notes and talk, but today I have a few things I would like to say about Paul. When I became intent on retiring as your pastor, I established what I call a pastoral bucket list. One of the items on that list was a Bible study on Paul's epistle or letter to the Romans. For years, I've avoided that letter in Bible study because I thought I was unequal to the task of interpreting Paul's greatest letter. One of the challenges is that Romans does not resemble all the letters of Paul. It is more of a theological essay than a letter as such the Corinthians received with Paul's personal touch. It contains one of my favorite scriptural verses, however. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God. For 2,000 years, the Apostle Paul and his writings have been central to the history of the Christian faith. For Martin Luther and us Lutherans, Paul's interpretation of the gospel message is of utmost importance. We only know about Paul from what he reveals about himself in his letters and what Luke adds to his sequel to the gospel, the Acts of the Apostles. Historians place Paul's birth in the city of Tarsus in modern-day southwestern Turkey sometime between the years 7 and 10 AD. Pope Benedict declared a jubilee year in honor of Paul for 2008-2009. Every year we Lutherans mark Paul's passage from Romans on the justification by grace through faith on Reformation Sunday. In my 46 years of ministry, Joe, I have never used that occasion to condemn or criticize my Roman Catholic forebears. One hardly needs a special occasion to observe the importance and impact of Paul. No other biblical author has received so much attention, so much study, and so much controversy as Paul has. One church historian described him as the conscience of the church, going so far to say that all the critical turning points in Christian doctrine in the history of the church were Pauline reactions. Perhaps that's overstating things a bit, but it is striking, nevertheless, to consider how central Paul and his writings have been down throughout the centuries. In the second century, a self-possessed Christian teacher named Marcion argued that Christianity should reject the Old Testament because Paul had taught that the law did not justify. In order to defend against Marcion's dangerous ideas, theologians like Origen and Irenaeus needed to steep themselves in Paul's epistles. A renaissance of interest in Paul occurred in the 4th and 5th centuries, culminating in St. Augustine's battle against Pelagius with Paul's doctrine of grace. Of course, it is well known that the Reformation of the 16th century was deeply inspired by Paul's writings, especially his letters to the Romans and Galatians. In the early part of the 20th century, Karl Barth, the Swiss pastor, wrote a commentary on the Epistle to the Romans, which gave birth to a whole new theological movement. And today there has been a flurry of new perspectives on Paul, led by the British New Testament scholar, one of my favorites, N.T. Wright. While any of these encounters with the apostle are worth closer examination, for us Lutherans, it is Martin Luther's journey with Paul that continues to stir the imagination for many and kindle a love for his writings. At the end of his life, Luther would recall this volatile time with vivid immediacy. He said, "I had been indeed captivated with an extraordinary ardor for understanding Paul in the Epistle to the Romans. I hated the phrase, 'the righteousness of God,' for it, I thought, only punished sinners. It wasn't until Luther finally understood what Paul meant, to preach a righteousness that was a gift by which God mercifully justifies through faith in Jesus Christ." Paul was not describing an impossible standard that could only lead to condemnation. That would hardly be gospel, the good news for Luther. Paul was speaking of a righteousness of God that was revealed at the cross, God's insatiable love for us. When Luther realized this, his whole world turned upside down. The bitter became sweet. While wrestling with Paul, Luther found himself also wrestling with God, like Jacob of old. Luther would never be the same. Much of Paul's life seemed analogous to Luther's own, as the poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge would later exclaim, "How dearly Martin Luther loved St. Paul, and how dearly St. Paul would have loved Martin Luther." The clarity of Paul's gospel message was important to Luther. In his preface to his commentary on Romans, Luther wrote, "This epistle is really the chief part of the New Testament, and it is truly the purest gospel." Luther's journey with Paul continued the rest of his life. The book of Galatians was, he said, his Katie von Bora. After Luther had become one of the most famous or infamous figures in Germany, his very first major publication was to revise and print his lectures on Romans and Galatians. Luther invites all of us to take a journey with Paul. I close this morning with a quote from a Roman Catholic scholar I have come to admire and appreciate, Michael Gorman, who holds the Raymond Brown Chair of New Testament and Biblical Studies at St. Mary's Seminary in Baltimore, Maryland. Father Joe attended classes there, and I used to go from time to time to hear Raymond Brown deliver lectures. Gorman writes this about Paul. "He believed himself to be caught up in a divine mission, a mission not everyone appreciated, to spread a powerful word of good news that would establish an international network of transformed, peaceable, multicultural communities, worshiping, obeying, and becoming public witnesses to the one true God by conformity to his Son through the power of the Holy Spirit." I think that says it all. And may I add my appreciation for Father Joe and his ministry, and also his presence with us today as we celebrate Christian Unity Sunday.